Let's read together Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Now, in this first half of the chapter, Zephaniah continues his prophecy of judgment, first against Jerusalem, verses 1 through 7, and then against the nations of the world, verse 8. Let's read the first seven verses. Woe to her who is rebellious and polluted, to the oppressing city. She has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God. Her princes in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. Her prophets are insolent, treacherous people. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. The Lord is righteous in her midst. He will do no unrighteousness. Every morning he brings his justice to light. He never fails. But the unjust knows no shame. I have cut off nations. Their fortresses are devastated. I have made their streets desolate with none passing by. Their cities are destroyed. There is no one, no inhabitant. I said, surely you will fear me. You will receive instruction so that her dwelling would not be cut off, despite everything for which I punished her, but they rose early and corrupted all their deeds. Let's consider a few background notes. The structure of Zephaniah's prophecy is similar to a number of Old Testament prophets. We could call it the good news and the bad news, with the bad news coming first. In other words, Zephaniah starts his book with prophecies of God's judgment and then ends his book with prophecies of God's blessing. We see the same structure in a number of the Old Testament prophets. Now, here in Zephaniah, we will get the good news of God's blessing in the future, in the second half of chapter 3. Right now, in the first half of this chapter, the prophecies of God's judgment are still being pronounced. In chapter 1, we first saw prophecies of judgment against the whole world in the first few verses. And then Zephaniah zeroed in with prophecies of judgment against Judah and the capital city of Jerusalem. Chapter 2 contained prophecies of judgment against the foreign nations surrounding Israel. Now here in chapter 3, Zephaniah returns to prophecies of judgment against Jerusalem, verses 1 through 7, and then concludes his judgment section of the book with a final prophecy of judgment against the whole world in verse 8. The fact that Zephaniah and the other Old Testament prophets spend so much time in their prophecies pronouncing judgment against sin should send a message to us. God hates sin, and he must judge sin, then and today. Reading the prophecies of judgment in the Old Testament prophets sometimes becomes tedious. Would you agree? But don't miss the message. Whether it be the sins of a nation or the sins of a city, or the sins of an individual person, God pronounces judgment against sin. That leads us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for this first half of Zephaniah chapter 3. Doctrinal point number one, the past judgment of Jerusalem was justified. The past judgment of Jerusalem was justified. The oppressing city mentioned here in verse 1 is Jerusalem. Because of her sins, Jerusalem would be judged. Not too many years after this prophecy was given, God allowed the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar to conquer Jerusalem and destroy the beautiful temple that Solomon had built. Now notice the sins for which Jerusalem was judged and think of how all of this applies today. The people of Jerusalem did not trust and obey the Lord. Verse 2, she has not obeyed his voice. She has not received correction. She has not trusted in the Lord. She has not drawn near to her God. The people did not trust and obey the Lord. Do we trust and obey the Lord? Or do we just sing the song? The civil leaders of Jerusalem corrupted justice. Verse 3. Her princes in her midst are roaring lions. Her judges are evening wolves that leave not a bone till morning. Let me ask you, do you know any corrupt politicians today that could be likened to lions and wolves? The religious leaders of Jerusalem were twisting and distorting the word of the Lord for their own purposes, and the temple of the Lord was no longer a holy place. Verse 4, her prophets are insolent, treacherous people. Her priests have polluted the sanctuary. They have done violence to the law. Think of the sad condition of much of the visible church today. The word is not preached, and there is sin in the camp. Now, the point of verses 5 through 7 is that even though God made sure that the people knew what his righteous standards were, verse 5, and even though God cut off other nations for Israel's sake, verse 6, and even though God disciplined the people in hopes that they would return to him, verse 7, yet there was no response. They did not return to the Lord. Rather, they rose early or were eager to corrupt all their deeds. Verse 7. What will it take to turn our own country around? Perhaps a national tragedy, like we've seen in recent days? Look at verse 5. But the unjust knows no shame. Think of the sexual sin, for example, in our own nation, in our own country, in America, that is practiced and promoted in America today without shame. The long-suffering and patience of God will not go on forever. When God brings down the axe, his judgment will be justified, as it was when he judged ancient Jerusalem. The past judgment of Jerusalem was justified. Doctrine point number 2. The future judgment of the nations will be justified. The future judgment of the nations will be justified. Verse 8. Therefore, wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. My determination is to gather the nations to my assembly of kingdoms, to pour on them my indignation, all my fierce anger. All the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. Here in verse 8, Zephaniah concludes the judgment section of his prophecy. He began in the first few verses of chapter 1 with the subject of worldwide judgment. Now he returns to that subject in his conclusion here in verse 8 of chapter 3. Worldwide judgment. You know, it's interesting that this verse is the only verse in the Hebrew Old Testament that contains all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, this may be just coincidence, or it may be to emphasize the completeness of judgment. Now, when will this judgment of the whole earth be? We believe that this will be during the coming tribulation period, the coming tribulation period of the last days, as we mentioned back in chapter 1. After the rapture of the church, which could be at any time, even today, then will come the tribulation period. This is the judgment time of the future day of the Lord. This is the time of the judgments that we read about in the book of Revelation. This is the time that the Lord will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 14, verse 2. This is the time of the battle of Armageddon. Revelation 16. This is the time when the nations of the world will be judged and separated as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Matthew 25 and Joel chapter 3. Now notice here in verse 8 that the Lord is addressing someone. Look at the beginning of verse 8 once again. Therefore wait for me, says the Lord, until the day I rise up for plunder. Who is the Lord speaking to here? It's the godly remnant of the last days. We read in Revelation chapter 7 of a great number of believers coming out of the tribulation period. I'm reading Revelation 7, verses 4 through 17. And I heard the number of those who were sealed. 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne, and the elders, and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne, and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might, be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, "Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to the living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." That's Revelation chapter 7, verses 4 through 17. The 144,000 believers from the nation of Israel and the great number of believers from every nation on earth that we read of here are believers of the future tribulation period. These believers constitute the godly remnant of the last days. When God judges the nations in the future, it will be a righteous judgment. No one will dare question the judge, the Lord himself. The future judgment of the nations will be justified. Now, what about practical application? Take a closer look when you think everything's out of control. Take a closer look when you think everything's out of control. Look back at verse 5. "Every morning he brings his justice to light, he never fails." Now, we saw in the context of this verse that Judah had no excuse for their unrighteous ways because God's righteous standards were still known in the midst of all the spiritual and moral corruption. Well, the same is true today. You know, some people look around at all the spiritual and moral corruption and unleashed evil and say, "Where is God?" Take a closer look when you think everything's out of control. Verse 5 again, "Every morning he brings his justice to light. He never fails." Every day, you look around, every day you will find something to indicate that God is still on the throne and that his righteous standards are still standing. It may be when a person who has perpetrated evil is brought to justice. It may be when God raises up a godly leader in a time of crisis. You know how thankful we can be at the present time for a president who practices righteous standards. You think this is by chance? No way. Take a closer look when you think everything's out of control.